Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of the Prime Time True Crime Podcast. I'm Robin.
I'm Brody.
And today, instead of what we would normally do, we're going to do a special episode based on a recommendation we've received. Normally we would do a follow-up episode called A Casual Conversation with the Coolies, which would discuss the last two cases we've gone over, which was the Ross Ulbricht case and Underbelly. But yeah, we received a recommendation. And I will play a clip from that in a moment.
Yeah, so we've just been doing a bit of different content lately. We recently released our first episode of the Brokey Brokey Literature Club, taking a bit of, you know, I guess ideas from Ross Ulbricht, decided to start our own book club. So you can check that out on the podcast as well. If it's not for you, that's okay, but it's definitely good time joined by our friend Max, and we just tell funny stories.
Something lighthearted, which separates and breaks it up from talking about some of the darker things we discuss.
Yeah, so we'll probably fill this third slot in now with either a wrap up or if we have them fan suggestions. So we'll just play Sam's clip now and let you guys know what's happening.
Hey guys, so I've chosen the Madeleine McCann story, who has been missing for almost 13 years now, and obviously it's kind of like the Azaria Chamberlain story where people think that the parents or the parent is the one that's involved in it, and obviously they're going to be the prime suspect. And it's just a very, very interesting story that's, you know, there's no evidence, there's, you know, a lack of leads and everything like that. It's just sort of, you know, 13 years on now and still there's nothing to go on. Like, will she ever be found? Did the parents actually, you know, Kate and Jerry, did they actually do something to little Madeleine, or was she actually abducted? That's what I'd like to know. I'd like to know people's theories as well, to see whether they're more towards, you know, she was abducted, or whether she was hurt by her parents, or an accidental death and the parents actually covered it up, which is another theory. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for that one, Sam. If you guys have any suggestions, feedback or comments, feel free to either use the Anchor link on our Facebook page, inbox the page itself, inbox me and Robin. We love hearing from you guys. If you do send us in something, we will definitely feature it, either written or vocal, up to you guys how you want to communicate. Yeah, it'd be great about this podcast, about our Brokey Brokey Literature Club, my favourite part of this whole operation. Oh. It's so good, man. It's got my name in it. Maddie McCann?
McCann.
Like the music store.
Yes, McCann's music.
Okay, so what do you got for us, Robin?
Well, as we obviously know, in today's episode, we are covering the disappearance of 3-year-old Madeleine McCann.
So you got a lot of notes in front of you there?
I do. I've worked hard on this one.
All right.
She went missing on the 3rd of May 2007.
So you almost said abducted there. Okay.
Which was 9 days before her 4th birthday.
Okay, so she'd be around, what, 16-ish now?
Yes, if she... Yeah.
All right, cool.
The Daily Telegraph has stated that this case is the most heavily reported missing persons case in modern history.
So do you agree with that one at all? More famous than, like, Morecambe or someone around that kind of, I guess, tier list?
I think internationally, yes. I mean, I don't know how Daniel Morecambe's case was viewed internationally.
Or even, like, the Chamberlain one or something like that.
I think the Chamberlain one was fairly big, but I don't know if Morecambe in particular, how big that got outside of Australia.
Did she go missing in Australia?
No. We'll get to
that. That's probably why, though, because when people think of normally an Australian disappearing case, especially in, like... For overseas people, you think of, like, the big Australian desert and just people going missing there. You don't really think about, like... ones where they're just kind of abducted in a city or that, which is more commonly what happens here, right? Interesting to think.
So I remember when I would have been about 10 years old, I remember the Madeleine McCann story being massive news and being pretty much everywhere in your face for a few years.
I don't particularly remember this one, actually. I obviously know about it, but I don't know much about the case itself. I just know, like, her name and, like, some memes about it, I guess.
Maybe you'll solve it.
maybe the two idiots in this room will solve the biggest
13-year disappearance.
I reckon we have it in us. I reckon if we put our minuscule brains together, we can make a big brain.
Do you reckon I could have a career because I have solved the Madeleine McCann case?
I feel like people wouldn't believe us. We'd be like, oh, she was stolen by aliens. And it'd be like, try again, Captain.
All right. So
is aliens a theory? Just like a little spoiler.
No, aliens is not a theory.
Why not?
It's not a theory. I don't have any other reasons. You can make it a
that's
theory.
That's my, okay, for every missing case, that's my baseline answer, aliens, and you have to disprove that it's not aliens.
Oh, it's not aliens.
It's your challenge. If you can't disprove it.
All right, let's move on.
All right.
Madeline was described to have blonde hair, a mix of blue and green eyes, and she had a distinctive dark strip on one of her irises. This is important to remember and something I'll come back to later.
So it was just like kind of a injury or a birth?
Birth.
Okay.
Birth, yep. Madeline's parents are Kate and Jerry McCann. I can't read.
It's okay.
They are both physicians and were married in 1998. Madeline was born in 2003 and her twin siblings, Sean and Amelie, correct me if I've pronounced that wrong, were born in 2005. The McCanns lived in England and decided to travel with their children and a group of friends and their children to a village called, and correct me again if I pronounce this wrong, Praia de Luz.
Paris?
No.
Oh.
Which has a rough population of 1,000 people in Portugal, which is in Spain.
Yeah, so they're not Australian?
No, they're British.
I always thought Matty McCann was Australian for some
McCann.
Reason. I don't... Yeah. What's the McCann? Is that the food one?
Oh, McCann, you've done it again.
Yeah.
That's that one.
So, that's weird. I always thought they were Australian for some reason. I guess I'm just mixing that with the Azalea Chamberlain case. So, I'm actually 0.0 with this case. So, I'm happy to learn something.
The group was made up of 7 adults and 8 children, which included the McCann's children. The group included Fiona and David Payne, their children, and Fiona's mother, Diane Webster. There was also Jane Tanner and Russell O'Brien, and Matthew Oldfield and his wife, Rachel Oldfield. The other 7 members, so not including Jerry and Kate, were dubbed the Tapas 7 after the name of the restaurant they dined at each night on their holiday.
So what's the glue that ties this whole group together?
Most of them are physicians.
They kind of go out on like a occupational...
Yeah, they all just decided to go on a bit of a spring break holiday, if you like, together as a group with their children.
To Portugal, you said?
Yes, in Spain.
And they're from England?
Yes.
So it's all within Europe as well?
Yes. Yeah. And this town that they're staying at has roughly 1,000 people.
So it's a small town?
Yeah.
Okay.
The McCanns had arrived in Praia de Luz on Saturday the 28th of April 2007. So for those playing at home, this was 5 days before Madeline's disappearance.
So less than a week into this. How long were they... Do you know how long they were meant to stay for?
A week.
So just before they left, she went missing.
They had planned to stay 7 days in total. The apartment they were allocated for their stay was 5A, which had 2 bedrooms. The Oldfields were next door in 5B. Jane Tanner and Russell O'Brien were in 5D. And the Paynes and Diane Webster were on the first floor.
So... They're renting out quite a bit of space within this.
Like, yeah, but they're all roughly, like, together, roughly.
So there's a lot of accountability because of the small space they're in that you wouldn't just go missing in the space itself. Like, she couldn't have just crawled into, like, somewhere, for instance, and just, like, hid.
Well, that's a theory we'll get to.
Oh. Oh, see? I'm solving them already.
Oh, you moved on from aliens, at least.
No, I'm still on aliens.
Oh, okay.
Small town. Why is it a small town? Aliens mingle with the town folk. There you go.
The room the McCanns were staying in was accessible to the public on both sides of the apartment.
What do you mean by accessible to the public? They could just walk through?
You couldn't open the door. Like, you had to have the key or it had to be unlocked. But in terms of, if you think about, like, you've got window here, window there.
It was viewable.
And it was viewable by the public. They could walk straight past their window.
Okay.
So
like where they're located is like on like a city strip, for instance, and you could look through like you would a shop window.
Yes, sort of.
Not like,
but they
like,
were. They...
Not, you're not like saying there's a hallway that leads like across, and the rooms are kind of connected to a kind of general hallway.
I think that's the idea, but
I think with a lot of these European places, they're kind of like, I'm probably just remembering from pop culture, but they're quite like pushed into their city limits, especially in the smaller ones. So maybe there's like houses in amongst buildings and like normal places of gathering. I assume what this is saying that it's not wouldn't be uncommon for someone to be walking past where she's
or
staying.
Or walking through the resort area.
So what we've got to take from this is it's quite common for people to go within her area.
Yes.
Right.
So
But still locked by key. Okay.
It had sliding glass patio doors in the living room, which overlooked the pool, tennis courts, and the restaurant that the group had been dining at. The McCann's children slept in a bedroom next to the front door. This door, the McCann said, was always locked. The bedroom had a waist-high window with curtains and a metal shutter.
Waist-high for an adult?
I'm not 100% sure on
that
one.
I assume that's what they mean.
They're referring to
and
an adult.
And she's four.
Almost, yeah. We'll say she's four.
So
yes.
She'd be her head would be around that height. I don't know how tall.
I'd say she wouldn't even probably come up to you. Probably the top of your leg.
So that's my waist.
Oh, yeah, I guess. That's correct.
For people playing at home, Robin went to point to her leg, looked at her leg, realised she needed to move up more, then pointed to her waist whilst trying to define what waist height is. And I love her. That was great. Keep going.
The McCann stated that they kept the curtain and shutter closed during their entire holiday. Madeline slept in a single bed next to the bedroom door, which was on the opposite side of the room to the window, and her siblings slept in travel cots in the middle of the room. The top of the apartment was visible from the restaurant, but not the doors. The patio doors could only be locked from the inside, so the McCanns left the door closed, but not locked, to go in and out from checking their children while having dinner.
Didn't they say they always had them locked, or is that just the one door in particular?
So they had the front door locked.
Yep.
When they went to dinner, they'd have the patio door not, because you could only lock it from the inside.
Yeah.
They'd leave it just they wouldn't leave it ajar. They'd leave it shut and
Why?
Not locked. So they could go in and out with ease to check their children.
But if they're so hell-bent on keeping the front door locked at all times for security, why have they left the patio doors open? Mm-hmm. This is going to be just me finding out that they did it, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
Well, we know it's unsolved.
I'm still on aliens.
Alright. On the day of her disappearance, the children had spent their morning at the kids' club. I don't know what they do at the kids' club, but sounds
It'd
like
be like a playground.
Sounds like a good time.
It'd be like playground colouring books and that.
Oh, that sounds like a good time.
Not for me. I'm not a child.
Do you like colouring?
Not really.
They had lunch and then spent the afternoon at the pool. Kate McCann stated this is where she took the last photo of her daughter before her disappearance.
That's really grim.
If you know the Madeline McCann case fairly well, you might know the photo I'm referring to. It's the most widely one of the most widely circulated images of her.
And this is going to sound really stupid. Does she have any signs of bruises or anything weird going on in that photo?
Not a normal photo. Just a normal photo of her on a holiday.
All right, cool.
The McCanns put their children to bed at around 7 p.m. Madeline was dressed in her short-sleeve, pink and white Eeyore pyjamas.
Is that really relevant?
Absolutely. I took out the bit about them being Marks and Spencer's brand and kept Eeyore because he's important.
Okay.
She had a comfort blanket and a toy named Cuddle Cat.
A comfort blanket's like a weighted blanket or what are they?
I don't know much about, I know we've been looking into them, but I don't know much about those sorts of blankets as to when they were sort of brought in and...
I assume a comfort blanket is just like a blanket that goes over your doona so you can kind of cuddle it.
Or maybe it was your Mr. Men blanket when you were little.
Don't know what you're talking about.
But maybe it's something similar to that. Maybe. And Cuddle Cat. We've got Cuddle Cat.
What's a Cuddle Cat?
A cat that's cuddly.
Fair enough. Thanks, Rob.
The group conducted checks on the children throughout the evening while they were at the restaurant. These were done every half an hour. Jerry McCann did the first check at 9:05 p.m. He stated the children were asleep and fine, but he was confused because when they had left to go to dinner originally, he'd left the door ajar slightly, and now it was wide open. He pulled it closed again and returned to the restaurant.
Was it windy that night, do you know?
Well, the bedroom window was shut before they left.
But it was slightly ajar, so a breeze could push through the patio and knock it open.
But there's nothing open. So, the patio door's shut, but not locked. The McCanns stated the whole time during their holiday they did not open the window.
I thought you said it was slightly ajar, the patio door.
No, the bedroom door.
Oh, okay.
When they left, Jerry had left it slightly ajar.
The bedroom door.
Bedroom door slightly ajar.
Yep.
And when he'd gone in to do his first check of the night, he found it wide
open. I think
what
might be easier, what I'm trying to suggest here, there's no way a wind could knock it open more.
No.
Okay, my other question is, I don't know if you find this as well, but you know when someone says they do something so diligently it becomes suspicious? Like if someone said to me, I wash up every time I use X thing, every time I use every use of a bathroom towel, I wash it no matter what. That seems a bit sus to me when you're doing something so meticulous that it's just why checking every half hour seems suspiciously, like, surveillance-y, if you know what I mean. Like, what kind of... I'm not a parent myself, but... do you normally check a kid every half hour?
Well, that's what I was going to say to you. If we... The hypothetical that we'd left our child, for whatever reason, in a apartment 150 or so metres away from where we were eating dinner, I, first of all, wouldn't do that to begin with, but I'd be really nervous about leaving them alone. So I...
This is 06, right?
7.
And they're quite a middle-class family.
Yes.
So why not just buy a nanny cam?
I don't know.
Also, is he overly suspicious because he's seen the door open, or is this then... Did they do this every night? They kind of went off on activity.
Yeah, so every night they go for... Pretty much every night they'd go for dinner with their group.
Would they check every half hour every night?
Yep. That was their routine.
Okay, so it's a little less suspicious. It just seems... I don't know. It's
made to have, I think it'd be more suspicious.
Do you know what I'm saying? No, when something happens so meticulously...
I think it'd be more suspicious if they didn't check their children.
I think it... But, like, every half hour? How long were they at dinner for?
Well, they left for dinner around 8:30, I believe.
And so, when did they come back?
Well, they never finished the dinner, which I haven't got to yet.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll move on to the next point.
Bro, even if my kid went missing, I'm finishing that steak.
Jane Tanner also left the restaurant as Jerry McCann was returning from his...
Sorry, who? Jay Tanner.
Jane Tanner.
Oh, this is...
Member of the group. Okay, member of the group. So she left the restaurant as Jerry McCann was returning from his check to check on her own children.
Okay.
Jane said she saw Jerry stop to talk to a British resort guest. But both Jerry...
He's British as well, right?
Yes. Good. But both Jerry and the guest stated that they didn't see Jane. This confused the Portuguese police because the area Jane had to pass Jerry and the guest was narrow and it was unlikely they didn't see her.
Inattentional blindness, maybe?
Possibly, but...
Do you notice everyone you walk past? Oh, but she's a friend. But
yeah, surely she'd see...
But he's seen her so much in his holiday, she might just stick into the background. It's like, do you notice every time I walk past you when we're here at home?
No.
Or does it just kind of become like, it's Brody, phase it out?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not really specified, but maybe the way they were standing, Jerry had his back to where Jane was.
Or inattentional blindness, or he's like me, where he just doesn't focus on things. So he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
I think the thing there, so he's talking to this British person is a what, sorry?
Just another guest at the resort.
And I assume they're sparking up a conversation because they're both British, right?
Yeah, they possibly met during the holiday at some point.
Or that being British men, they're probably talking about soccer or something like that. Probably, you see the game, fam? I don't think they said fam back then. No. I don't think we say fam now.
No.
I was informed by your 14-year-old sister that we don't say lit anymore.
Oh, no.
I don't know. A blaze, I guess.
So Jane told police at 9:15 p.m. after Jerry had done his check... And as she went to do her own, she saw a man carrying a young child who was walking ahead of her. He was not far from 5A and was heading east. This sighting led to the first suspect being identified, but we'll come back to that soon.
So, did she see any details of his child? Okay.
You're
giving me the we'll come back to that look.
The child in the man's arms was wearing pink pyjamas.
And what colour were Maddie's?
Similar to Madeline.
Okay.
Jane described the man as white with dark hair, 5'7", wearing gold or beige pants and a dark jacket.
So he's just a generic guy, under 6 foot, dark hair.
Carrying a child.
Okay.
What is puzzling about this to me is that from my research, I don't believe Jane mentioned anything about this to her friends. All I can assume is she just thought nothing of it.
Well, yeah, I assume it's a resort where a bunch of families are staying in, like, Spain, so...
She just thought it was an innocent...
I mean, I don't really notice when I see dads walking with their daughters, I don't be like, oh, that looks like...
Someone's child, yeah.
Yeah, also, like, he's a pretty non-assuming man, and he's also just a kid with pyjamas. Like, did she even know what colour Maddie's pyjamas were at the time?
I have no idea, but...
Because that's weird, right? Do you know your friend's pyjama colours? No.
Yeah, absolutely.
It feels like one of these cases where a lot of these details are just like, why would I notice that in the first place?
Kate McCann was about to do her own check of her children at 9:30 p.m, but Matthew Oldfield, so another, if you've forgotten, another friend.
Could we just call him Maddie?
No.
Okay.
Offered to check on the McCanns as he checked on his own children. He noticed that the bedroom door in the McCann's apartment was wide open. Remember, when Jerry McCann did his check at 9:05 p.m, he'd noticed the door open as well, but pulled it shut.
So they've gone from diligently checking every half hour to being like, oh, you check, Cobb. Okay.
Maybe a few wines in, I don't know.
Yeah, but he said they'd be doing this every night.
Yeah.
Was there examples of them letting other people check for them before? Do we know?
I think so, yeah. Just other members of the group as they
went. Okay, I thought, because like, if they dropped their stance now, when she did go missing, it's a bit sus, but...
Again, Matthew Oldfield may have not mentioned this to Jerry and Kate because he didn't know Jerry had shut it or didn't think much of it.
Why is Jerry not mentioning this? Because, like, there's other kids in that room as well, right? Or that access that room gives you access to more rooms, right? Or is it just...
No, what I'm talking about is Madeline and her twin siblings' room,
mm-hmm.
right? Jerry went up, did his check. Mm-hmm. He noticed the door was wide open. Thought that was odd because he'd left it ajar, so he pulled it shut again.
I feel like you'd be thinking that's a bit more than odd, though.
Matthew Oldfield goes up after we've just discussed, but as I said, maybe
he after Jezza checked, yeah.
Maybe Jerry... Jezza. Why would... No, stop it. Why would Jerry tell him that he'd just shut the door? I don't know. But Matthew...
Because that's a serious thing. If I, like, if you came home and your door was open, you'd be like, what the fuck?
So Matthew's gone up...
Can we swear on this? Yeah, we can. What the fuck? Like, your door's open.
So Matthew's gone up and he's gone, oh, that's strange. The door's open.
That's more than strange, though.
But maybe he didn't know that the same thing had just happened when Jerry was there.
But that's not strange. That's a security thing. You'd be like, hang on. I'd be worried. If I came in, like, my wall, I'm like...
Yeah, but it's not the front door. It's the bedroom door.
That's... What's your point, though? If... No, but I'm not talking about this guy. I'm talking about Jezza, the dad.
Mm.
Why did he not get concerned when his child's door's open?
He possibly just thought, oh, maybe I just left it open. I don't know.
Oh, so now I'm doing that thing where a little detail I'm overthinking.
Mm.
Oh, no, I fell into my own trap. Actually, yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if my bedroom door's open or closed right now.
Matthew Oldfield didn't check to see if the children were okay physically, like he didn't actually look in and see them.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
He heard no noise, so he assumed...
check on the children, I could see the Z.
He heard no noise, so assumed all was well. He stated he couldn't remember if he saw the bedroom window open at this time or not.
I'm assuming it's open later.
Mm. At 10 p.m, Kate McCann went up to do her check. Scotland Yard believed this time would have been just after Madeline disappeared. Kate recalled entering the apartment through the patio door as the others had done and noticed the children's bedroom door was wide open.
Did the other guy shut it?
He shut it as well.
Okay.
Remember again, both Jerry McCann and Matthew Oldfield stated they had shut the door after noticing the same thing. When Kate went to close the door, it slammed shut due to a draft coming through.
That's probably what's knocking it open then.
This told Kate the bedroom window was open.
Oh, sorry.
Kate entered the bedroom. She saw Madeline's comfort blanket, cuddle cap, and the twins. Madeline was nowhere to be seen. Kate stated she briefly searched the apartment before racing down to the restaurant, screaming Madeline was gone.
Hold on, let me think. So, hypothetically, if someone is scoping out the place, they've left this door open every time.
Every time, hmm.
That's a weird way to do a crime, right?
Have they been disturbed every time?
Yeah, but if they're disturbed, they can surely close the door, leading to less suspicion.
Mm.
Like, if I'm trying to case a joint and, like, not get caught...
I'm not leaving it wide open.
I'm not leaving a door wide open.
No.
Also, it's...
Or were they hiding somewhere else in the apartment? And heard someone come in each time?
Yeah, but then just shut the door. Like, entered and shut the door. Yes. Also, how much scoping around they're doing with, like, three sleeping people? I know they're children, but they're not, it's not like they're drugged or out of it. Like, I know for me, if I see someone in the room or, like, hear a noise, I'll wake up, so...
Yeah. At 10:10 p.m, Jerry McCann asked Matthew Oldfield to inform the reception at the resort that his daughter was missing.
Did they call the police by now?
And that they should call police.
Why doesn't he call police?
I guess they didn't because they're British. They didn't know the local contact sort of way to contact the police. It's not just 000.
Yeah, but you know the country that you're in. You know the emergency number.
I don't know. I don't know why.
Did everyone carry mobile phones in this? I don't remember.
I assume.
In 07? Was that a thing?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
At 10:30, which is 20 minutes after Jerry asked Matthew to do this, the resort activated their missing child protocol. Why this took 20 minutes, I'm not sure, Matthew Oldfield didn't have to walk that far to the reception.
We're just having a go at him for being a slow walker.
60 stars.
Wait, hang on. Why is the dad not running to the reception being like, bro, my kid's gone missing?
Probably gone back up with Kate to say that she's not just...
Fuck her, my daughter's gone missing. She can have a little tissy fit. 60? What? No, hang on. Let's not walk past this point. This man's daughter's missing, right?
Yes.
In a foreign country.
Yes.
In Europe, which is like, you know, dodgy stuff going on in Europe, especially like Spain. And he's just decided to let someone else go to alert the police.
I reckon what he's done is he's gone up with Kate to the apartment to make sure...
No, she's... fuck her.
No.
What? No.
Just let me state my point.
Okay.
He's gone up to the apartment with her, not because she's panicking, but to make sure she's not dumb and Madeline's just not hiding somewhere else in the apartment.
Yeah, but you may as well just alert the police anyway.
I don't know.
Because, like, unless there's behaviour of Madeline doing this before or sleepwalking, then something's amiss. No, he should have went himself. Also, if he was going to go over and make sure he's not panicking, why send the guy in the first place?
I don't know.
Unless the whole argument is that we didn't think she was actually missing, so we kind of dilly-dallied annoying the authorities. But that just doesn't make sense, because it's not like it's at your house. You're in a foreign country. Madeline probably doesn't speak Espanol, you know. She probably doesn't speak that well at all. She's 4.
Mm.
No, I just don't buy that. That's so stupid.
60 staff and guests were searching the resort until 4:30 a.m., and many assumed Madeline had wandered off and got lost or stuck somewhere.
Exactly. So why would you not go earlier?
Responding to the reception's call, two officers from the... I'm going to probably screw this pronunciation up. From the Gendarmerie... which is military force, which is a military force charged with police duties among civilian populations. They arrived at the resort at 11:10 p.m., which is an hour since Jerry McCann asked Matthew Oldfield to talk to reception.
It suggested more like it. Mate, you want to maybe call them? I don't know. I'm going to have another beer. What a... Bro. No, they're so diligent that they're checking every half hour. Then why would they not panic when... after their half-hour check that they're routinely doing, it goes wrong. If they didn't care that much or were so lax that they took 20 minutes, why are they checking every half hour? It just doesn't make sense. Are you on my side here, or...?
I don't know what they did in that time while Matthew went off to do it for them. I don't know.
Bro, I'm panicking right now. I'm fuming. What's going on?
The Gendarmerie decided at midnight, after searching, that they should contact the criminal police. Kate McCann stated that the criminal police did not arrive until 1 a.m, which was an hour after this, but the criminal police state they arrived 10 minutes after the call from the Gendarmerie.
Can someone get their story straight? That'd be grand if we can get some actual factual stuff. Isn't there phone records that we can just check?
Probably.
Oh my god.
The crime
scene... I was like, is there an official story or timeline?
It's all a bit...
It's all hearsay?
Here and there.
One of the
we did this, but you didn't do this. But there's phone records. I don't know.
One of the biggest missing case trials, and you're telling me they can't get a timeline knocked down.
I don't know.
Something's dodgy here.
The crime scene, not surprisingly, was not secured. Neither border or marine police were given descriptions of Madeline for a number of hours so that they could be on the lookout for her if she was being transported away from Portugal. Kate McCann stated the roadblocks weren't used until 10 a.m. the next day, which means any potential offender had well and truly escaped by that point. Police didn't request motorway or footage of surrounding roads and areas as vehicles and people left that night, and it took Interpol 5 days to issue a missing persons report. Not everyone who was staying or working in the resort at the time were interviewed, and many guests contacted the police themselves to say they hadn't been interviewed.
So is there any reason why they're not taking this seriously?
I think they were under the suspicion that she was just going to turn up. She just walked away and...
In a foreign country of a language she doesn't speak.
Yeah.
They
were very scrutinised, don't worry.
But why... So you're saying there was no description given, right?
To the border or marine
Instead
police.
Of the mum criticising after the fact, why didn't she just tell them there? Like, she's like, oh, by the way, this is what my daughter looks like, lol.
Maybe she didn't know how to contact the border or marine police.
But they're there, surely.
No, they weren't there.
When they arrived.
The police that were there, they didn't contact the marine guys. But, like, okay, stop anyone leaving with this description.
Is this really just... Did a kid really go missing because bureaucracy? Please don't tell me that's the answer. That's so frustrating.
Police took samples from the bedroom Madeline had been sleeping in and these were sent to a forensic lab in Portugal. The results showed DNA from an unknown person, but around 20 people had entered 5A before this was collected as they searched for Madeline. An officer had dusted the bedroom for fingerprints without wearing gloves or standard protective uniform.
Is this really going to be they didn't solve this case because bureaucracy? Please don't tell me that. I'm going to be very mad.
Oh, I think there's a lot of missed opportunities.
But you know what else? You know what doesn't leave DNA and fingerprints?
What?
Aliens.
All right, so we're going to get into some suspects and theories now.
Is that aliens one?
No.
That's my theory.
There's no aliens.
I'll tell you my facts for my theory,
okay,
right?
Go on. Okay, Brody's got a theory first.
Couldn't find the fingerprints or didn't have them or didn't know the, like whose fingerprints they were. Alien. Was there DNA found of a person?
No. Yeah, DNA from an unknown person, yeah.
Ooh, could be an unknown alien. Mm-hmm. Invisibility to stand by the door while it was open. And apparently mind fuckery because no one knows what they're doing. So alien mind powers to make everyone just act like a child, apparently.
Can we get into some real suspects?
Yeah, that's my alien theory, though.
All right, our first suspect is Robert Murat. So 12 days after... Ooh,
is that the British guy?
He lives in Portugal, so I guess he's...
His name was Robert. I'm just being a bit racist, all right?
12 days after Madeline's disappearance, Robert Murat was identified as a suspect. So they screwed up all the investigation, but they've got a suspect.
12 days later. First suspect.
Yeah, straight off the bat.
All right.
Robert Murat lived in his mother's house, roughly 150 metres away from 5A.
Before you say anything, please don't tell me this guy's a pedophile.
See?
Please, I'll keep going.
He became a suspect after a journalist informed police he'd been asking about the case. Murat blew this off and said he only showed interest because he had his own daughter who was around Madeline's age.
Oh, okay, thank God.
Three members of the McCann group stated that they saw Murat hanging around 5A, as well as other witnesses. Both he and his mother stated that they were home all evening.
That's not really reliable. It's like, his mum's would be like, nah, actually, dobbing him in real quick.
Yeah. On the 15th of May 2007, Murat's home was searched, including his pool, backyard, phones, and computers.
Please don't tell me they found CP.
There was nothing that could link Murat to Madeline's disappearance.
Okay.
He was removed as a suspect in 2008, but okay. He was re-questioned again in 2014. There's still no link.
Why did they re-question him?
They opened Scotland Yard, opened another investigation.
I really thought you were going to get on the track of he had stuff that probably linked to him wanting. So he has no motive.
No motive. No, he just lived nearby and people.
Was a male.
And people reckoned they saw him nearby. That was pretty much their.
Yeah, but if he lives nearby, of course you're going to see him nearby.
Exactly. That's the.
What?
Yeah, that's the problem. Because it was open to the public, the resort, as we discussed.
Yeah. People just went there for lunch.
People are just floating through.
Imagine trying to support local business and you get put on like some case.
Yeah.
My man.
All right. So this
Sorry. No, he didn't do it. Next one.
This suspect doesn't have a name, so I've just called him the blonde-haired man, which is you. You're blonde. You're the suspect.
BHM. All right.
BHM. On the 2nd of May, the day before Madeline disappeared, BHM was seen across the road from 5A watching the apartment.
Define watching.
Staring at it.
Okay. He was just
looking at the apartment.
So he was just loitering.
Okay. On the day of Madeline's disappearance, the man was seen glaring at it.
Okay.
Nearby a white van. Mm.
Okay. Is this one CP?
On the afternoon, on the day of the disappearance, a woman on the balcony above 5A stated she saw a man leave through the gate below as if he'd left one of the apartments. How dare he?
In today's era, you probably shouldn't be leaving your apartment. Back then, it's fine.
At 2:30 p.m., two blonde-haired men, so two BHMs, were seen on the balcony of 5C, two doors from the McCann's apartment. At 5 p.m., a BHM was again seen near 5A. After Madeline's disappearance at 11 p.m., two BHMs were seen in a nearby street speaking in raised voices. When someone noticed them and caught their attention, the men quickly went silent and left where they were. Not a lot with that one.
This just seems like people who lived in the area. Also, I don't know, I find a bit... How many days after the whole disappearance is this?
But that was... They're not. So that was...
No, I meant the reports of them glaring through the window.
Oh, I'm not sure when this was recorded. Because
like, that could have just been people being like, oh, I saw two blonde people arguing, and maybe they, like, I don't know, man. There's no concrete evidence so far.
Just a couple of notes here.
I'm noticing I'm not a lot of women suspects so far. Is there any reason why police thought it was a male?
I don't know. There is no women suspects in this at all.
Because the only thing I've found so far that's like tangible evidence is that one girl seeing a guy with a child, but that's also just like 50% of the population are male, and then most of them have daughters. Well, not most, but a fair majority of them have daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Or some type of child. Like, I just don't...
So I've got a couple of different just side little bits.
Okay.
The day before Madeline went missing, Madeline asked at breakfast, "Why didn't you come when her brother and I cried last night?" After the disappearances, the McCanns wondered if this had been an indication that someone had entered the child's bedroom the night before.
So you're telling me the super diligent parents who were checking every half hour didn't notice when the children were crying?
No, apparently not.
So they've gone from being, like, this aura of being super diligent, always checking, you know, on the case, to just, like, sloppy?
Mm.
I don't want to call into question their parenting, but... Also, who said that Madeline said this?
Madeline said she asked.
No, but who's...
Oh, the parents said that Madeline asked at breakfast.
Okay. More evidence, please.
So that's all that goes with that. That was just a little
side. Yeah, you got anything else for me?
Not to do with that conversation.
No, just anything. I'm at a loss, man. So far I've got... I'll tell you what's going through my head right now, right? As okay. someone who doesn't know this case very well. I've got a missing child.
Yes.
I've got a lad who had a daughter.
Yes.
I've got a lady who said she saw that lad have a daughter, apparently.
Yep.
I've got DNA no one knows about.
Yep.
I got people who are male who live in the vicinity being put as suspects. I've got a shitty police force.
Yep.
I've got parents who are so diligent they check every half hour but don't check when their children cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a child missing in a foreign country.
Yep.
If I'm the police or someone in charge of this case, I'm asking why, how it's come to this so far. How have they royally screwed up so much that this is all... Where's my evidence? Where's my anything? Where's anything tangible?
I mean, any evidence you probably had, they screwed that up.
And it probably wouldn't be admissible. It would be admissible in court because it could be tampering because no one was wearing gloves.
Yep.
I'm just. Is this normal? I don't know much about Spain's history.
I don't know much about Spain's legal things either.
As someone who studies criminology, is this normal?
No, that is not normal practice. That shouldn't be happening.
No, you say that, but like. You know, procedures get not followed all the time.
Oh, absolutely, but that kind of not following procedure ruins cases. That ruins prosecution
cases. So, we talk about this a lot in education. Duty of care. Do you follow that much in, like, criminal investigations? Like, the duty of care you have to someone to make sure their case has, you know, the best kind of evidence put forward and, like, make sure the best... Do they have that?
I don't know if it's called duty of care.
It probably would be. But, like, who's responsible then for this duty of care not being followed through? Because we've lost a child and no one seems to care.
They've bungled every bit of hope they probably would have had.
Is this so common that it just doesn't matter? Like, you know, like, we don't follow jaywalking up as a crime. Is this case, like, so common in Spain that they're just not following up? Is this such a normal occurrence that they're like, oh, it's just another missing girl?
What I find interesting, and this might be a later episode down the track, but anyone who knows about Amanda Knox...
Yeah, I do.
I don't know my geography, but Italy and Spain are...
Both in Europe.
In Europe, and...
They're quite close, right?
As you know...
I thought they were in Portugal.
Yeah, I'm getting back to my point. Okay. As you know from the Amanda Knox case, they bungled that up too, in terms of collecting evidence, and... So I don't know if this is a common thing in European countries, but...
I don't want to be racist, but I feel like this is just a common thing in legal cases, right? Where you just... Someone needs to be accountable for his duty of care, because this is quite frustrating. All right, feed me some more.
So, the resort staff had left a note in their message book at the swimming pool reception area, reserving the table at the restaurant. The message said that the group's children were asleep in their apartments. Kate McCann believed that the abductor may have seen this note.
Hold on. So for that to make sense, the person who abducted him has to, one, see it, and two, have the motive to do it.
Yep.
that seems unlikely. Like, yeah, someone could have seen it, but then you also need that person who's seen it to want to kidnap children. Also, not children, child, because her brothers weren't...
Brother and sister, yeah.
Weren't touched.
Mm. And neither were... If it says children of the other members of the group, why Madeline?
Was she the youngest, do you know?
No, her twin siblings were.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they were the youngest, but they were younger than her.
I assume you're getting into it, but if you don't, is there any evidence of the family, the parents, I mean, having a particular grudge against Madeline?
No, not that I'm... I've read Kate McCann's book, and from her point of view, Madeline was loved. Madeline was...
This has probably come up in a later theory, but do they have any motive to want to get rid of their daughter?
Not that I'm actually aware of, no.
And this doesn't seem like something... You wouldn't trade in a kid for publicity.
Well,
yeah. I mean,
that's possible.
Okay, keep going.
All right. So, we're coming back to the sighting by Jane Tanner.
Okay.
When Jane Tanner told Portuguese police about the man, so the man walking away with the child in his arms.
Yeah.
The description was not released to the media until the 25th of May, nearly 3 weeks after the disappearance.
That doesn't seem that uncommon. Why should the media have to know?
Because I think that anyone who sighted the same man that Jane saw, or the man would himself, would be able to come forward.
Yeah, but you get people who just call up and be like, oh, I saw this, and just to get like... You got to think, like, when you release stuff to the media, you also let all the crazies in.
I know, but I think this was an important detail that...
There's no CCTV or anything in this time?
Apparently nothing that records.
This case is weirdly modern, but not modern enough. Yeah. Because, like, even with the phones, like, did they have access to phones easily?
They probably just have Nokias, I don't know.
Flip phones.
Yeah.
In international roaming.
So, in October 2013, so we're now going 6 years in the future,
yep.
A British holidaymaker was identified as the man Jane had seen. He'd been returning to his apartment after collecting his daughter from the creche. A lead detective said they were almost certain the sighting by Jane was not related to that disappearance.
So, like I said, it's just this guy with his daughter.
Yep. So, your biggest, like, the one theory you thought, oh, that might be plausible, no.
I didn't think it was plausible, I thought it was just a dad with his daughter.
It was better than Robert Murat.
I think aliens are still winning.
Okay. All right. Next, we've got Martin and Mary Smith.
Okay.
I was a bit like, Jane Smith, you know, all those...
It's one of the most common last names in the world.
Anyway, Martin and Mary Smith. Another sighting of a man carrying a child was reported to police by Martin and Mary Smith, who were on holiday from Ireland. Scotland Yard concluded in 2013 that this sighting offered the approximate time of Madeline's disappearance. The Smiths saw the man at around 10 p.m, 500 yards from the McCann's apartment, walking away carrying a girl aged between 3 to 4 years. She had blonde hair and pale skin. The man was mid-30s and between 5'7" to 5'9".
Is this not just the same guy?
Also wearing cream or beige trousers.
Is this not just the same guy?
This sighting seems similar to what Jane Tanner reported. I couldn't find if this had been looked at, but I'd argue it's possible the Smiths may have just seen the man Jane Tanner saw.
I'm fairly sure. Hang on, was the child also wearing a blue dress by any chance, or whatever
pink.
It was?
Sorry.
They're wearing a pink dress?
I don't know. That one wasn't
there. It just seems like the same thing.
I read it and I was like, hang on, this is just not the same person.
Man.
During my research, there was a suspect identikit image drawn of this man based on information provided by the Smiths.
It's probably just the same guy.
And look, I'm not trying to feed any further theories I may or may not discuss, but he looks like Jerry McCann.
Oh.
Mm.
Hang on, why?
The identikit picture that the Smiths drew up with police investigators looks like Jerry McCann.
Oh, the guy in the beige pants.
Yes.
What colour pants was your boy wearing?
Don't
know. Surely that's documented somewhere.
I hope so. I hope I'm not the only one that went, hang on, that looks like Jerry.
Okay, can we post these photos maybe on the Facebook page
later?
Yes,
I can post and I'll say what people think. Because yep. I saw it and I went, hang on. Alright, moving on, we've got Matthew Oldfield, one of the group.
Yeah.
Portuguese.
Oh, this is Maddie, this is the guy who checked, right?
Portuguese police accused Oldfield of involvement because he was the last to check, and they thought he could have handed Madeline to a potential abductor. That's all they had.
But aren't they work friends?
Yes.
Why are you abducting? There's no motive for anyone in this case, right?
No, you'd imagine the Oldfields were quite wealthy themselves, had their own kids.
Well, at least middle class, right?
Yeah, why would they
And why would they just take one?
Yeah, why not take all three? So that was all that was there for that one. All right.
Also, we've got to go back to the fact that why would you leave the window open?
Hmm.
Like, he was the only one there, and they... Also, who suggested he go check on the kids? Was it him or the parents?
He got up to check his kids, and Kate was about to get up at the same time, and Matthew said, oh, now it's all Jay, I'll check on
him. But that's not the first time someone's done that, you said.
No.
I just, like, it's the thing, right, where it was an inside job. There's too much evidence for it. Like, if it's an inside job, normally they don't have a lot of evidence to show a crime. It just looks like a disappearance, right? But he's left a window open. He also didn't stop Kate from going and checking later on. If he's done that crime, why would he not say, oh, Kate, I'll check again? And
unless he knew that the person had made their getaway well and truly.
Yeah, but like, at the same time, you could give him an extra hour by just being like, it's all right, Kate, I'll go check again. And then that froze out the whole timeline for the police. Because instead of them being like, hey, this person had like a half hour window, they're now like, oh, it's a half hour window, but it's actually an hour window and it's all wrong. So if that's the case, either Matthew's an idiot or it just doesn't make sense, right? Like, he just offered to check again.
Right.
Or he'd be like, do you really need to check again? Like, can't we just have another drink? We'll check later.
Yeah, he'd be almost trying to convince Kate or Jerry that there was no reason to go up there.
Yeah, right? He wouldn't just be like, all right, it's been half an hour, my guy's got away. Because, like, if the police were competent, then you probably could have, like, set up roadblocks or had a... Like, it just seems wrong.
All right, we'll move on to the next one. Next one is botched burglary. Other statements...
Sorry, a botched burglary, so instead of stealing goods and appliances, you stole a child.
Other statements to police stated there were men behaving oddly, but so was Robert Murat apparently, and the blonde men, behaving oddly near 5A in the days before the disappearance and on the day itself. There had been an increase in burglaries between January and May of that year, including two in the same apartment block as 5A in the 2 weeks prior to Madeline's disappearance, where burglars had entered through windows. Scotland Yard did address this angle, but they argued the burglary seemed unlikely because nothing else in the apartment was taken apart from Madeline.
I think you've also got a bigger problem of, in terms of crimes, kidnapping is a lot harsher thing than burglary. So that'd be like...
It's a big step up.
No, it'd almost be like, I went to go rob my local like fish and chip shop, right?
Mm.
But while I was there, I also committed terrorism.
Yeah.
It's like... Or like... You're robbing a place and then you shoot someone. It's like, well, you've gone to rob, but for some reason you've committed a more harsh crime. Like, why would you take your kid in a burglary? If anything, you just, like...
Not to downplay Madeline to her parents, but I feel like Madeline
wasn't... Is there any ransom?
Wasn't worth as much to...
Oh, she's too young. Okay, let's get a bit gross with this all. She's too young for an underground sex market, surely.
No. That's a theory we're coming up to.
Four?
That's a theory we're coming up to.
God, I hate people. Alright.
Alright. So, next theory is left by herself, ?
Is that what the theory is called or what you're calling
That's
it?
That's what I call it.
Left by herself, ?
Another theory is that Madeline left by herself and was either abducted by a passerby or injured herself or died by falling down a mine shaft.
What?
But there was construction and stuff going on nearby, so they thought maybe she just, you know, went for a walk.
And when the miners came to work the next day and saw a dead body, they're like, oh, it's just normal.
No, she fell down, so they couldn't see her down there.
No, but they'd have to go down there.
I know.
Whose theory is this?
Conspiracy theorists. Reddit's a great place.
Oh, I hate internet sleuths.
Or she drowned on the beach.
So no body once again.
This is viewed as very unlikely. Kate McCann stated that Madeline would have had to open the patio doors by herself, close the curtains behind her, close the door again, open and close the child gate at the top of the stairs.
Not wake up her brothers, not be spotted by any other adults, not be spotted by an authority. Habeas corpus, there's no body.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So we are going to get a bit gross, unfortunately.
I hate people so much.
In 2014, Scotland Yard launched an appeal related to a man who entered holiday homes occupied by British families in four incidents between 2004 and 2006, two of which occurred near where Madeline was taken. On these occasions, he had sexually assaulted five young girls. Early in the investigation...
Sorry, sexually assaulted and taken?
No, just assaulted. So, Early in the investigation, investigators looked at the possibility of pedophile activity. Investigators searched through a number of images seized from pedophile investigations, and the McCanns were shown images of known sex offenders to see if they recognised any during their stay. They didn't. Several pedophiles were of interest. One named Raymond Hewlett had allegedly told someone he knew what happened to Madeline, but he retracted this and died shortly after.
what a great time to die.
Convenient.
I mean, I'm not too shaken up these deaths, let's be real.
A former Scotland Yard detective, Colin Sutton, says the most likely and credible scenario was that Madeline was targeted and kidnapped by child traffickers, possibly to replace a grieving parent's dead child. In the Netflix documentary, The Disappearance of Madeline McCann, investigators noticed that the area of the resort would be easy for traffickers to escape on a boat and travel to North Africa. And as we know, no border sort of shutdown was initiated at all during the aftermath.
I'm just thinking, so what's the evidence of this? Just activity within the area and the existence of an underground sex trafficking?
Essentially. There's nothing to say yes or no.
Well, once again, why not take all of them?
Well, yeah. That's an issue a lot of people have with this theory. There was three. If I'm unfortunately one of those sort of people,
also, I
see three young children sitting in front of me. Children are money in the child sex trafficking industry.
Got a better point for you. Surely twins who are different sexes would fetch more. And I know that's gross to think about, but surely, if you think about in terms of just monetary value, two people who identically look the same but are different sexes would surely be worth more on like a deep market sort of thing.
And would surely make less noise.
And also younger.
Mm.
It's weird that it's just Maddie.
Yeah, that's what's always come across strange. The only thing I've really thought about with that is that the offender was on their own and they felt they couldn't take all three.
But if you're staking out a place, like, so you say you staked out for a couple of days, you've maybe seen the thing saying multiple children, you've staked it out just for one?
Yeah.
Like, you... Also, this is the problem with them checking every at half hour. They set a pattern where if this was to happen, then there's clear windows.
Yep.
But at the same time, this person who's tried to think has planned it so meticulously, but also on several occasions has failed to cover up evidence of someone being there by not shutting the door, by taking... How many times is the door? Like, three checks? Two, three checks?
Yeah.
They've taken over an hour to do this, and they've ended up with one child out of a possible three when they've had clear windows. Yep. It's so weird to think about. Also, if I'm a serious underground thing, as soon as someone walks up to come check, I'm just knocking them out. I don't... Why would I care? I'm already committing kidnapping and child sex trafficking. Why do I care about assault? Like, it's that thing. Like, it's the opposite, where if I'm already committing a serious crime, I'm not too... If like, old mate walks up to check, I'm just knocking him out, and then I'm taking his kids. Like...
Yeah.
I'm not just taking Maddie.
On May 3rd, 2019, it emerged that Portuguese police were hunting a sex fiend who wears a surgical mask in relation to Madeline's disappearance. A German pedophile, Martin Ney, is believed to be the suspect. He was jailed for life in 2012 for abducting and murdering three children and sexually abusing more. It was believed he was in Portugal when Madeline went missing. In the Netflix documentary, The Disappearance of Madeline McCann, a private investigator stated that the value Madeline had was really high. If traffickers had taken her, they would get a lot of money.
But how much were her siblings worth?
Yeah, that's...
Like, once again, they're twins, and I feel like twins fetch a lot. Also, if you're saying that, oh, she was a blonde female or British or whatever, her sister would have been the same and younger. It's weird that... And they're all in the same room, right?
Yep.
So if you broke into the room, you can clearly see all three.
Mm.
It's just... Also, if I'm taking kids, if I'm trying to take two, there is more chances that if I try to take the... Oh, but they're probably sleeping next to each other, maybe it's harder. I don't know, I just feel weird that they're just not taking the twins or all three.
Yep.
I guess maybe he's one... I hate this, it's so gross to talk about pedophiles, but if one pedophile, maybe he doesn't need all three, or maybe doesn't think he... I don't know, this is all gross, I hate this.
So our next theory is still alive?
Yep.
Former detective David Edgar, who had once searched for Madeline, stated he believed she could still be alive and imprisoned with no idea who she is. He believes she is being kept against her will, perhaps in Portugal, in a lair.
And his evidence is?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh man, that's great. A couple problems. Are we talking, who's that lady who was locked in a cellar?
Elizabeth Stritzel.
No.
By her dad.
In Austria. And they had kids?
Yeah, Elizabeth Stritzel.
What's the guy's name?
Joseph Stritzel.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking of Joseph. I'm like, it doesn't sound right. So are we talking like that sort of situation?
I think, but obviously not, well, don't think the parents, because
yeah.
I feel like their house would have been searched top to bottom.
It's a bit sus, isn't it? Yeah. Also, why would you kidnap a daughter who you already, that's weird.
Well, ask Joseph Stritzel that.
But he didn't, was there an investigation when his daughter went missing?
Yeah, but they believed she just ran off and joined a cult. They went with that story.
Okay.
All right. And finally, probably the theory everyone is waiting for me to drop, Kate and Jerry McCann. The media began to turn against Kate and Jerry McCann in June 2007. As Sam mentioned, this could be compared to the treatment of the Chamberlains following Azaria Chamberlain's disappearance from Ayers Rock in Australia in 1980.
There's a bit of religious and racist undertones there, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
These people are British, white, middle class.
And Roman Catholics, so there is a bit of religion there.
But Roman Catholic is quite a
difference to the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, like, I don't want to be that guy who gives legitimacy to some and not to others, but Catholics and that are seen as a socially acceptable, I guess, and not a weird religion.
I think this is, but I think that their treatment was similar in the media.
It happened with the Morecambes too, right? People started blaming them?
No.
Really?
No.
I swear I heard that.
No.
All right.
The media sentenced Kate and Jerry McCann almost immediately, and the media sentenced, well, the media were like, oh, okay, Dingo took the baby. And then they were like, nah, Lindy did it.
I mean, that happened after it was revealed her religious status and other things.
Yeah, other things, but
yeah.
In terms of the severity, it was very similar.
All right, give me some evidence. Or I'm going to be real with you. There's no evidence, is there? It's just all speculation, isn't it?
We'll see.
Okay.
And you can decide. Or you can go back to aliens.
I'm still on aliens, man.
The Portuguese made several allegations towards the McCanns, such as that the McCanns and their friends were swingers, the McCanns had been sedating their children, and the group had formed a pact of silence after the disappearance.
Right, this sounds a lot similar to Amanda Knox's thing, where people are just making up speculation. Foxy Noxy, yes. They're just making up speculations based on nothing.
Yep.
A group of adults can hang out and not be swingers. That is fine. What evidence is there of sedation? If they thought it was sedation, why not check the other kids for their any senior sedatives in their bloodstream? Like, where is this all coming from? Like, it just sounds like here's my theory, right? Actually, serious, no aliens. The Portuguese police fucked up so badly and didn't want backlash. They created a narrative in which they made the family out to be saying they're not swingers.
This is an argument that was made, that the Portuguese police screwed up so badly that they just let the media go for it.
And I have a friend who is, I don't know, not the same country, but he's Brazilian. He says, like, the corruption in countries like that is just so high that this sort of thing happens, where it's corruption or lack of any training or guidelines, or just, you know, not even keeping to a time schedule. And I don't want to be like, oh, the white British people were right about the timing and, you know, the police were dumb and stupid. But come on, they didn't lock down their borders. They didn't wear gloves. And now they're making up evidence and just absolute propaganda about being swingers and sedating their children. And like, where's the evidence? Like, the evidence isn't there because you didn't collect it properly. This is so frustrating. This is honestly, I've been sitting here for what, nearly about an hour now, and all I'm hearing is bad police work, and now I'm hearing the police blaming other people. Like, how?
We'll get there.
Okay. But seriously, are you on my side here? This is quite frustrating to listen to.
I'll let you know later.
Okay.
Media fed on the inconsistent statements made by the McCanns and their friends. One inconsistency was whether the McCanns had entered 5A through the front or back door while checking on the children. Jerry stated during his first interview that they had both entered 5A through the locked front doors for the 9:05 p.m. check and 10 p.m. check. In his second interview, he changes to say that they had entered from the unlocked doors at the back. There was also questions whether the front door had been locked. The police also questioned why Kate ran from 5A, leaving her other children unattended when she possibly could have called her husband and friends or shouted. That's how close they were. All right,
but now we're talking about someone acting in a rational fashion or believing stuff when the unthinkables happened. Like, once again, we're not parents, but I assume that losing your daughter, yeah, you have a kid today, but that's not your first thought. Your first thought is, where's my daughter? Like, that's my first thing. And the whole door thing, we don't have a front and back door here, but I assume it's you don't always remember what door you enter and exit through sometimes. Like, that's just not something you keep a track of.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate here.
Okay, go for it.
My first thought would be, is the offender still floating around the apartment? I need to get my children out of the immediate danger.
No, not at all. You are not thinking that. Okay, I'll give you another example. You lose your wallet quite often, right? So do I.
Yeah.
Is your first thought when you lose your wallet, where was the last place I looked at? Is your first thought, oh, for fuck's sake, I've lost my wallet. Where did I leave it? And you start panicking.
The second.
And that's a wallet, right?
Yep.
We're talking about a child. My first thought if I lost a child isn't, oh, okay, I'll just, get my other children secured. I'll call my husband over. I'll stay in the room. No, if you're panicking over losing a wallet and you're going to panic when you lose kids. I just don't buy that, oh, she didn't act of rational mind in an irrational situation, therefore she's guilty. And the door thing is just like, that just happens. People get confused. That's fine.
Another issue was the shutter in the bedroom on the window and whether it could be opened from the outside. The shutter was made of metals that were controlled by a strap. Once rolled down, the slats locked into place outside the window and could only be raised using the strap on the inside. There was no sign of forced entry, and by forcing the shutter open, there would have been a fair bit of noise.
But we're talking about a resort so insecure that people are allowed to see private documents about who's staying in the room and what the activities of those people are. It surely wouldn't be hard to find a key.
There's no key.
What do you mean, to the door?
No, we're talking about the window.
Yeah, but, okay, so if you get a key to the door, right, go into the room, you can now open the window from the inside.
Right.
So that's, I don't see that being a thing. Also, you said before that there's been several burglaries in this room, right?
Nearby and around the room.
Yes, yeah, so people, these aren't obviously the most secure place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we so hell-bent on, no one could have broke in, when there's been evidence of people breaking in, like, constantly in the same month? Like, come on. Also, you still haven't given me a motive. Like, why would the parents kidnap? Are you going to give me one, or is there just none?
This led to a theory that Madeline had died in 5A as a result of an accident, perhaps after an overdose after being sedated to sleep, and that her parents had hid her body for a month before retrieving it and driving her to an unknown place. A former head of police said that the most commonly accepted theory was that Madeline had died in 5A.
Okay, so couple things here. Where's the sedating coming from?
They're physicians.
No, but, like, where's this sedating coming from? There's evidence.
To keep them while they... The idea came from that while they went down to the restaurant, they sedated the children to keep them.
What about the story of Madeline saying, why didn't you notice me and my brothers, or the other children crying the night before? If they're sedated so heavily, how are they waking up to cry?
It was like a bang, and I was like, ugh.
But do you see my point? Like, they're so heavily sedated, yet there's Madeline saying, hey, I cried the other night, why didn't you check on me? Mm. Like... The other thing is that this whole sedating thing has come from the media and that they were physicians. Like, that's nothing. That's just speculation. That isn't evidence. I'm sorry. Also, a month?
Yep.
After the rooms were heavily searched for her,
yep,
they somehow hid the body where no one... 60 people, you said?
20.
Searching?
Oh, 60. Yeah, sorry.
60. 60 people searching for several hours didn't find a body hidden by two physicians in a small room. They somehow maintained that body for a month while being heavily investigated and scrutinized by the media as people thought they did it. Somehow kept that body from decaying, smelling, and were somehow able to maintain that body throughout the month without no one noticing. And then somehow drove away and threw the body.
Yep.
And he said that's the most plausible theory.
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
One head of police detective.
Also, if you thought it was sedating... Why didn't you check the other children? Their bloodstreams for sedations.
I think there was some sort of... Someone can correct me on this one. I did forget to research that little bit. I think there was tests conducted about sedation, but I can't remember.
Unless those tests are positive, or... I mean, like, cough medicine has like a little bit of sedating medicine, right?
Codeine. No, that's cold and flu tablets.
Well, there you go. Cold and flu tablets have a little bit of it.
Mm.
That's still not... Also, so other physicians were with them on holiday, right?
Mm.
And so is there any evidence of them bringing like supplies for the sedation?
Not that I'm aware of.
So where did they get it from?
I don't know.
And also, like, if they're sedating their children, why are they checking every half hour?
Mm. To make sure they're still asleep.
But you sedated them.
Yeah, I know.
So why if I'm sedating them so I can go and party, why am I ruining my party to go every half hour and check? Like, I just don't buy it.
Alright. Two cadaver dogs were brought into the investigation. Keeler was a crime scene investigation dog, trained to give her handler, Martin Grime, an alert to the detection of human blood by placing her nose on the spot, then freezing in that position. Eddie was an enhanced victim recovery dog, who gave a bark at the scent of human death, even if they were buried or incinerated. He was trained to bark at that scent and not for any other reasons. The dogs were brought to 5A in July 2007. Both dogs raised an alert behind the couch. Eddie gave an alert near the wardrobe. The police took the hire car the McCanns had rented, because they stayed in Portugal for a fair bit of time, obviously trying to help with the investigation. So the police took the hire car the McCanns had rented after Madeline had disappeared and took it to an underground car park with 20 or more cars parked. This also included Robert Murat's car, our first suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie gave an alert outside the McCanns' car by the driver's door. And the next morning, Keeler alerted to the rear driver's side inside the boot and the side compartment.
Sorry, what was Eddie sniffing out the check?
Eddie was scent of human death.
And what was the other one?
Blood.
Okay.
Sorry.
And these are rental cars, so other people have used these cars?
I don't know about rental cars if they get full clean.
Doesn't matter. You, I assume...
I'm just saying.
But, okay.
I'm not eliminating.
Here's my problem, right? If blood can be cleaned that easily, and you McCanns have done that, and they haven't bothered to clean it themselves. Also, you're talking about two properties that are both rentals, thus not solely belonging to the people we're questioning, and therefore have been used by other people for methods we don't know about. And three, we're still talking about the people conducting this investigation probably still covering their asses, right? Like, if they've already stuffed up so badly and created this face narrative about sedating children and trying to blame the parents, what's to stop them from just lying about these police dog things? Is there any recorded footage or unbiased things about the dog sniffing them out?
Oh, the documentary, I'm pretty sure. I haven't watched the documentary for about 12 months. But
that can still be, you can just spray blood DNA or whatever the scent is of the death on the cars, right? Like, I'm still not ruling out corruption or covering of your ass.
So, as I was just...
I don't have a motive,
I'm
right?
just going to finish off what I was saying about Keeler. Keeler alerted to the rear driver's side inside the boot.
Yeah.
And the side compartment near the driver's door. The Netflix documentary, The Disappearance of Madeline McCann, noted that people have been suspicious about Kate McCann in particular for a while.
About what?
The dog sensed the smells of a human body and blood on her clothing as well. And she refused to answer 48 questions in her interview with police.
I mean, I'm probably pissed off with police at this point too. I don't want to just solely say like, oh, they're covering up or they're, you know, it's not the parents' fault. But come on, right? They've butchered this investigation and now they're hounding this family.
Now, the thing that I wanted to come back to about the irises. Now, as I mentioned, Madeline had a defect in her eye where there was there was a mark on her eye.
Defect, yep.
So in pictures that were produced of Madeline following her disappearance, they removed this defect intentionally.
Who?
The police, the investigators. So the idea was if she had been taken by an abductor, child sex ring, pedophile, all those sorts of... that they'd be able to identify Madeline from any other child based on that defect. Now, what happened with that was Jerry McCann made it public that Madeline had a defect in her eye, despite being told by police they were using that to identify her should they find her. So that was always an interesting point to me.
I know.
Why would Jerry do that if he'd been explicitly told not to do that?
I know a lot of evidence is pointing to them doing it, but I don't have a motive. Like, it feels like this whole operation was botched and then... to cover it up, the police, you know, have just falsified evidence or have... I don't know. Also, the mother and father are probably pissed at the police by now. It took them over an hour to get there. They weren't collecting evidence properly. Don't you find it weird that they started doing evidence really fucking properly after they fucked up the first lot? Almost like they were trying to overcompensate and be like, oh, no, look at this evidence we found that's unspoiled. We butchered the first half, but now our ass is on the line. Let's fix it up in the post, boys. Like, I think you can go 50-50 on either police corruption or the parents doing it, but I don't have a motive other than they killed their daughter, lol.
Why didn't they kill their other children?
Why didn't the younger children die? Because, like, they're younger and obviously receiving the same dosage. Also, you've got Madeline being like, the kids were crying last night, why didn't you notice? I don't think you're doing that if you're sedated. And I also don't think, I just don't see parents who check their kids every half hour, you know, like, needing to sedate them. Because, like, if your sole thing is they're sedating them so they can enjoy their holiday, one, you don't have... They're wealthy. You don't have to take the kids on holiday. You can hire a babysitter. I don't know, man. What's your thoughts?
Well, I was just going to wrap it up, if that's okay with you.
Yeah. Sorry, it's been dragging on a bit.
The 3-year-old's whereabouts, well, now 16-year-old, or whether she's dead or alive, remains a mystery, despite a 12 million European currency police reward.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. There has been more than 8,000 potential sightings of Madeline McCann since her disappearance, have so far failed to locate her.
I mean, for that much money, there probably would be a lot of sightings. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to be honest. I am skeptical of Jerry and Kate McCann.
But do you see what I'm saying?
I understand.
This is cool. It's another case where we disagree and we can do a follow-up on this.
I've always been skeptical of the fact that why the thing with the irises has always stuck with me.
But aren't you getting Foxy Noxy vibes?
I am, to a point. But...
But
the thing that bothers me with that theory is, what did they do with her for those months that police reckon they had her body?
And also, how do you keep a track of that? How do you constantly go back and making sure it's not decaying? Also, like, why weren't the dogs brought in earlier to sniff out death if that was a leading theory? Or was this just a theory?
That was a month after they were brought in.
So this was a theory after the point? That's really fitting with a narrative that they're like, hang on. I don't know, man. I feel like police had lack of evidence due to butchering it. And to make up for it, they started blaming the parents. That's my theory.
Dead or alive?
Maddie?
Hmm.
I don't think there's an... This is the thing, right?
Doesn't matter who you think or how it happened.
I don't think this is a yes-no question. I think that we will never know due to the police just being so incompetent.
But what if she turned up alive? Then we'd know.
I don't think she will, though.
Yeah.
Because they butchered it. And I also think that, I don't know, did the McCanns, did they try to counter-sue for...
They sued someone...
Lack of duty of care and also not...
I don't know about duty of care, but they sued someone for a book. I think it was an investigator. He wrote a book, Madeline, Truth or Lies or something.
But
sued him.
Did they not sue for the shitty investigation?
Not 100% sure.
Because that's another thing, right? If they're doing that, then the police are like, oh, it's kind of like...
They did hire their own private investigators to take over.
But it'd be like a Stephen Avery thing, right? Where you're like, oh, we screwed up so badly, we're just going to falsify evidence. Like, you can't tell me it's never happened before. Falsified evidence. Also, this... Isn't it funny? I assume this story got really big after the fact. So, a story where the police forces seem to be incompetent that becomes the biggest child kidnapping case in the world... You don't think the police would just falsify some evidence in order to make themselves look better or to blame someone who's not themselves to save face?
I mean, I'd like to believe that, but...
But I also
believe that the Stephen Avery case is very dodgy in terms of the police.
I mean, it's not dodgy, you did it, but, like...
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's my fear. I think it's a police botched job that's been covered up by using the media to your advantage in order to spread a false narrative because people have... You know, they use, like, all their... Also, why bring up the whole swinger thing? That's irrelevant to the case, but the police...
Why'd they bring up Foxy Noxy?
No, but that's the thing, right? Yeah. It's the same example. So you're like, oh, why did you bring up the eyes? Why did they bring up swingers? No one said that. No one was bringing that forward, but they're trying to victim blame and make them out to be villains by saying, oh, look at over there, they're swingers. Don't look at our shitty police work where we weren't wearing gloves and proper gear. But later on in the track, we're going to use the proper dogs. We're going to... Also, the dogs sniffed it on her clothes, but no one else's. No. So the husband just wasn't involved at all?
Apparently.
That's... Come on, man.
The thing is as well, like, Kate and Jerry work as physicians. They also do work in morgues and things like that.
Yeah, but we're saying a month, mate.
I'm just saying, the smell of death.
Yeah.
They can be justified in that respect.
They're also hanging around other physicians. I don't know, man. Your thoughts?
As I said, I'm sceptical of the McCanns, but I'm also not sceptical of them. I have always thought, if they're not guilty, I think they shouldn't have left their children the way they did.
I think this is the coolest prequel to Foxy Noxy I've ever heard about.
Is that our next episode, is it?
Maybe. All right, once again, thanks to Sam for suggesting his episode to us. I hope you enjoyed it.
Sorry this one's been a bit of a long one, but I'm quite proud of all the research.
I think she'll enjoy that, though. She seems to be a big fan. Sam is our number one fan.
Oh, okay.
We will refer to her as number one fan Sam.
Yep.
If you guys want to send in your episodes and maybe become our new number one, feel free to...
Or tell us your Madeleine McCann theories.
And how the police are shit at their jobs and don't have a duty of care, apparently. Feel free to inbox us, either privately or on our Facebook page. Feel free to send us in some Anchor recordings with some questions or inbox us some questions. We'll be happy to hear them. And yeah, keep tuning in. There should be another Brokey Brokey Literature Club coming out next, I think. It should be on the agenda.
Yeah, hopefully over next week.
We'll talk to Max. Maybe we'll start working our way through My Immortal or another bad fanfic on the internet. There's a lot of them.
It's nice to break it up from what we're discussing here.
It sure is. I've been Big Dog Brody.
I'm Row... Row...
Batusson?
Row Your Boat, Robin.
Row Your Boat, Robin. and this has been the Prime Time True Crime Podcast.
Good night.
Hashtag Free Ross.